We're going to talk about the law this morning. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, he starts out talking to those that know the law. So let's just read those first six verses, and then I'm going to go over 4 points that the Lord has put in my heart here this morning. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, it says this: "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." So he starts this session out here, this word out here, talking about the law. And I thought, as I was putting this message together, I was thinking about putting the Ten Commandments up here on the screen. And most of us know at least most of the Ten Commandments. I was going over the Ten Commandments, and I couldn't list them in order myself. But I do know the Ten Commandments. But you know, there was more than Ten Commandments. There was actually, and I've seen this from many different scholars, they said that there was approximately 613 commandments. That's a lot of commandments. Anybody here ever come close to keeping all those commandments? Okay, let's just throw out the other 603. How about the top 10? Has anybody here kept the top 10? You better not say yes, because if you do, you're lying. Because nobody can keep it. That's going to be one of our points here this morning. And so, the law was given. Actually, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I'm not going to go there yet. I'm thinking about today, the day that we're living in. And I can remember, I believe there was a judge down in Alabama, I believe it was, that refused to take the Ten Commandments off the courtroom wall. Any of you remember that story? Well, they forced him to take it off. And now, of course, they won't have it anywhere in a public place. The commandments are gone. And this world that we're living in now doesn't even want to hear what's in this book right here. They don't want to hear the word of God. In fact, they have labeled this word, if you were to quote the word of God to certain people or circumstances or situations, they would say that you are hateful. That's what they call it, hate speech. That's the world that we're living in today. And I thought about the persecution that we're going through, or beginning to go through, I should say. And you all know about the woke society that we're in right now. I think you all know what's happening to our children in school, starting in kindergarten, and what they're teaching. And it goes strictly against what the Word of God teaches us. And now they're telling us that we have to accept this. And you cannot speak out against these these people who are saying things that are not true and are not right. We can't speak out against them. And I really truly believe that persecution is coming to the church. We're going to be persecuted for our faith. I had shared in the Bible study that there was a couple of baseball players that had said something about the homosexual lifestyle and how the Bible had taught against it. The Bible says a man shall not lay down with a man, and a woman should not lay down with a woman. And the Bible teaches us that. And they got on, they said something about it, and their teams came against them, the owners of the teams. And so they both ended up making a retraction, saying, I shouldn't have said that. And they both end up losing their jobs anyways. Now, this just happened. This happened about within the last month. And more and more and more of this is going to happen. We're going to be persecuted if we stand up on this word. I can remember as a young man witnessing at work, and people would, or this happened to me, where somebody would say, well, how can you say that to me? And I would say, I'm not saying it to you. This is what the Word of God says. So the law was given to us so that we would know what was right and what was good. The problem is Jesus said you have to die to that law. Why in the world do we have to die to something that is good? There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy and just and right. Why do we have to die to it? Why can't we just live by it? The problem is that none of us can live by it. We all come up short. So we have to die to it. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I died when Christ died, because I was in him. I put my faith in him. I put my trust in him. Also in Romans chapter 6, this is one of Tom Nutt's favorite verse. I made him memorize it, and I know he can quote it to you now, but Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So we died with Christ so that we didn't have to be slaves to sin. Before we knew Christ, before the power of the Holy Spirit come into us, because when we come to know him, the scripture says that we're born again by the Spirit of God. And I want you to think about some of these things that I'm saying here this morning, because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to touch our hearts and lives, and he wants you to be sure that you have been born again, that his Spirit dwells in you. He loves you. He wants to give you his Spirit. He wants to give you new life. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to put your faith in him, and he will give you everything that you need. Some of us are still living under the law, if you will. In other words, what we're doing is we're trying to do the best we can. And we all know, well, we're not all perfect, you know. And then some of us would say, well, you know, we're only human. Is that true? Come on, somebody help me here. No, you know how dogmatic I am about that. We're not only human. We have been born again of the Spirit of God. So Why did we have to die to this law? The reason we had to die to it is because we couldn't keep it. If we could have kept it, then righteousness would have came by the law, and God would have never had to send his only son to die on that cross for you and me. But we couldn't keep it. We couldn't keep the law. God knew it. He knew it even before he gave it. When he blessed Abraham, and he said, in your seed, all people will be blessed. And he was blessed because he believed God. So it was accounted unto him as righteousness. So this morning, if we're of the seed of Abraham, if we've been born again, it's because we have trusted him. We believe, we put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Now you need to think about this, because this is where salvation comes in. We have a few choices here. We can believe that, I don't know how many millions or billions of years ago, that there was this big explosion, and somehow everything went to its perfect spot. The earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything went into perfect orbit. And then a couple million or zillion years later, in this warm pond, this frog jumps out and life begins. Now that's what we're believing if we believe the evolution theory. That's what we're believing. That's how life began. Or we can believe that God, our creator, as he spoke in Genesis chapter 1, and he talked about how the earth was formed and what he did and how he made man, you can believe that. Now both circumstances there take something. It takes faith. And you're going to decide that I'm either going to put my faith in what teachers are telling me, and you can study it, and you decide whether you're going to put your faith in that, or you can decide to put your faith in what the Bible says. And boy, I remember that day when I decided that I wanted to put my faith in Jesus Christ, and he led me to the cross. And I put my faith in him, and something, and you all know who have experienced this, something miraculous happens when the Spirit of God comes into a human being. We are changed, aren't we? We are no longer the same. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I can remember when Jimmy Lasky, right down there, I can remember, Jimmy, when you came into Sunday school one Sunday morning, and boy, you could have pushed me over with a feather. And I said, Jimmy's in Sunday school here? Because I knew the Laskys. I knew what they were like. Of course, I had nothing to say. I don't think I was quite as bad as you guys, Jimmy. But believe me, I was right behind them. But Jimmy Lasky is, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the greatest servants in the kingdom of God that God has. Amen. Amen. And it's not because of him. It's because of the power of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God. And if you know Jesus Christ today, your life has changed the same way. And it wasn't because you kept the law. So, why did God even give us the law if the law couldn't do anything for us? Why did he give it to us? I mean, from Abraham to Moses, there was 430 years there wasn't any law. And then the people in the wilderness started to cry out and said, well, we need to know what God wants. And so Moses goes up on a mountain and he brings back the Ten Commandments. And that's just the beginning. So now the law The Bible says in Galatians, I'm not sure exactly what chapter, chapter this is, but it says in Galatians that the law was our schoolmaster. It's the one who taught us about God and the ways of God. The problem was, again, is it had no power to transform us, to change us, to give us this new life so that we would have the ability to be able to do what the law says that we should do. And so all it did was make us aware of our sinful nature. In Romans chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "For I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin was revived and I died." I remember when that happened to me, when I realized just how sinful I was. And I realized that I needed a Savior. Up until that point, I was like anybody else who believed in God. I just thought, well, okay, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I try to do my best. And I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as Jimmy Lasky was. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I don't mean to be picking on you, but I know you're my good brother. And isn't that how we are? Isn't that how we are? We think, well, okay, you know, I'm not really that bad. I hope I'm good enough to make it there. Well, news alert here, you're not good enough, and you never will be good enough. In your own strength, in your own power, you will never be able to keep the law. James says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. So the law produces two kinds of people. The one, when the law first comes to you, and I used to think this, some of us have heard this expression many times over. It says, well, somebody invites you to church, said, no, I'm not going there. If I go, the ceiling will probably fall in, you know, because I'm that bad. So the law produces two kinds of people. One says, that's impossible. I can't do all that stuff. I can't keep all those laws. So I might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow I'm going to die. That's one kind of person that the law makes. One who feels like he can never do it. And the truth is, he can never do it. The other kind, the other type of person says, okay, I can do this. So let's buckle up and I'll do my best. And so, you know what? I'm going to start going to church. And I'm going to be good to my neighbor. In fact, my neighbor is 80 years old, and I'm going to make sure that they've got dinner every night. And so I start to do good works. And I'm trying to be as good as I know how to be. And so I think because I'm doing all of these good things, that I have to be somewhat righteous. I'm doing the right things. So God should accept me. But again, the problem is all that has to happen is the enemy comes into your life in some way, some form, some fashion, and he makes you mad. And the next thing you know, you're striking out against your neighbor, against your friend, against your enemy, for all that matter, and we fall. We sin because we're sinners. So the law could never give us life. And it's important for us to understand this, that we have to die to the law so that we can live for Christ. Die to the law so we can live for Christ. So that's my next point that I want to bring out. that we should be married to another, the scripture says. It says that we have to die, just like the woman under the law was bound to her husband as long as he lived, but if he died, she could marry another. The same with us. If we die to ourselves, if we die to the flesh, then we're free to marry another. And so I woke up the other morning and I told my wife, I said, I have a confession to make, honey. I said, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but this is the honest to God truth. I said, I know I've been married to you for almost 51 years now, but I have a confession. I was married before you. And she's been reading my notes, and she's been studying with me somewhat, so she knew where I was going. But I thought it was pretty good. So I remember this old song. Some of you might remember this. This is an old song, but it said, I've got two lovers, and I'm not ashamed. Two lovers, and I love them both the same. And I told her, I said, I do. I have two lovers. I love Jesus. And the scripture tells me that I'm married to Jesus. I died so that I could be married to him. And there's something about love in a relationship that just absolutely changes us. Probably the better part of yous out there have entered into a relationship like this natural with a man or a woman, and you got married, and it changed your life. And if you truly did love and you kept on loving and you had the love of Jesus, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so the scripture tells us that we die so that we could be married to him. Okay, I'm jumping along here a little bit on my notes here. Okay, so just as a woman's husband had to die for her to be free to marry another, we must die to the law so we can be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Christ died so he could bear the punishment the law required. Now we're talking about God here. His requirement had to be met. Christ fulfilled the perfect obedience that the law demanded. He never sinned. So Jesus, through his precious blood in his life, met all the requirements that God needed for us to have a relationship with him. It's important for us to understand this. That's how precious the blood of Jesus is. So God sees the blood, and he realized that now we are married to Jesus Christ. We've laid down our lives for Christ. We have chosen to turn away from the old and go to the new. We have heard the gospel message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We hear about all of the things that Jesus did, all the miracles that he performed as we read the gospel. And I can remember as a young man, I had no clue what the gospel had to say about God or about Jesus. I had no clue because I never read the Bible. But when the Word of God came to me and was revealed to me, and I realized that Jesus, and I always believed in God, and I believed that Jesus was God's son, but I never knew what he did and what he wanted of me. I never knew that until I become convicted of my sin. And when I realized that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior, then I began to seek after him, and I got into the Word of God. The reason I'm saying all this is because I don't know where you are at in Christ today. But if you will read the scriptures, if you will read just the New Testament, if you will read the Gospel of John, it's very easy reading, you will see what the Bible has to say about God's only Son, Jesus. And if you will believe that, and you'll put your faith in that, then you can be born again by the Spirit of God. And I know that many of us here this morning are born again, and you understand what I'm saying, but some of you are still living under the law where you're just trying to do the best that you can. And even when you get mad and you do something wrong, you justify your actions instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you. And then when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we repent and we ask God to help us so that we won't do that no more. We have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. I can remember as a young man after I accepted Jesus Christ, there were many things that I did that just were ungodly. They weren't right. And when I was faced again with making a decision of whether I was going to do that or whether I wasn't, the Spirit of the Lord in me gave me the strength to say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not easy. People know you. They know your personality. They know what you're like. And all of a sudden now you say that you're different. Something's happened. They only know you as how you were. And it's not easy to stand up and take a stand for Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, the days that we're living in, if we truly have the Spirit of God living in us, we're going to have to stand up and take a stand for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to do that. And we're living in perilous times. We're living in the end times. Most of us here, most of us, even the younger ones here that are hearing this, realize that some of the things that are happening today, it's just mind-boggling. Who could have ever thought that we would have to deal with certain issues that we're dealing with now? We would have never dreamed that. But this is what the world is coming to, and this is what is happening when you take God out of society, and I don't care what society it is. It happened all throughout the Old Testament. The Israelites who served and worshiped God, when they would do what they were supposed to do, God blessed them. All the other nations could care less, and they did whatever they wanted to do, and they became wicked, and they did wicked things. That's how Sodom and Gomorrah was produced. Without God, we become wicked and vile without God. But if we have God, He gives us life. He gives us strength. He gives us blessings. He gives us what we need to be what He wants us to be. My next point is the reason that we need to be married to another, not the law, but to Christ, and have that relationship of love, is that we would produce fruit unto God. That's what it says there in verse 4 or 5, I think it is. I'd have to go back to the first page. But so we are supposed to be married to Christ so that we can produce fruit unto God. How many fruit bearers do we have out here? There you go. There you go. Some of yous are willing to be able to stand up and say, yeah, I'm standing for God. I'm producing fruit for God. And this is what we want to do. But the only way that we can do it now is to die to that law. Otherwise, we're selfish and we say we did it. We die to that law and we allow Jesus Christ to pour His love into us. And that love is absolutely powerful. It changes us. Love is a powerful force. And that's the fruit that God wants us to bear. And I know, and I feel like I can be a good example of the love of Jesus Christ, because when I look back at my life and I see what Jesus Christ brought me from, and he forgave me of all of my sins. And somehow I just knew that I was forgiven of all of my sins, and I was free to love God and to love others. And so no matter how bad you are, how evil you are, how wicked you are, if you will allow me to love you, I will love you. I'm talking about bad people. I will love you. And each and every one of us, if we have the love of God in us, we should be able to say that same thing. I'm not going to condemn you. That's the message that we have, that Jesus Christ is in us. And he has reconciled the world unto himself, and he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, bringing everybody back into conformity with God. And he said in that same verse, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. He's not holding anything against you this morning. Any of your sins he'll not hold against you. He will forgive you of all of your sins. So if Jesus can forgive me of all of my sins, then why can I not forgive others of their sins, no matter how wicked or how horrible they are? There's only one way you're going to do that. You know, I think you know that, because you can't do it on your own. You get mad when somebody does something that's wicked or evil or bad. We get mad about that. We want to hurt somebody when they do something bad. But the thing that can make us love somebody, if they give us that opportunity, many times you won't have that opportunity. They won't let you. But if they'll give you that opportunity, you can bless them with the love of Jesus Christ that's in your heart and in your life. And that's what God wants to do. If somebody wouldn't have taken the time to love me when I was unlovable, I'd never be here preaching this word of God right now. But God used people. He put people in my life. He put people in your life. And then he got the word of God to you. And that's how you became born again. That's how you became married to Jesus Christ. Every single one of us here this morning that know Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with him, we are married to him. And that's extremely important, because what happens when we realize that we're married to him, we die to that law. In other words, we're not no longer trying to do this, do that, do all those things, you know, so that I can be okay. All we're trying to do is please him. And I'm telling you, it's so much more easy when you let the love of Jesus Christ change your life. And he truly can change our lives. So it's no longer I have to do this or I should do this. But to live is Christ. To live is not law keeping. Law keeping is too hard, isn't it? How many try it that way? Just trying to be the good person, you know. It just doesn't work, does it? We always come up short. But to live is Christ. So now, every day, he tells us to pray without ceasing. Let the Spirit of the Lord lead us. Constantly be talking and fellowshipping with God. That's why he brings us to this place on Sundays. This is his house. This is his sanctuary. What does sanctuary mean? It's a safe place. And he wants us all here. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I've never seen, and especially in this day, the attendance fluctuate so much. You know, 1 week we've got 50 more than the last week. The next week we're 35 less. And I know things happen, but have we truly honored? That's one of the commandments. You know, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And again, there's nothing wrong with that law. The law is holy and just. There's nothing wrong with it. So now that I have the love of Jesus Christ in my heart, then I want to serve him first and foremost. I know that's what's in my heart, and I try to be that example. And I think you all know that if we're not out of town, we're here. And we very seldom, even as we're getting older, when you got more aches and pains, you know, we very seldom ever miss for any reason. If I'm not feeling quite up to snuff, I always say, well, thank God, I'm going into the house of the Lord. That's a safe place. This is where I can receive blessings from the Lord. I can receive healing. My soul can be enriched. I can be uplifted. So I want to encourage you to honor that day and do it because you love Jesus. Don't love the world. The world will give you lots of things to do. It'll draw you the way it wants you to go and keep you from doing what God wants you to do. So let the love of God be our motivation. The greatest commandment is love. When you fall in love with someone, it changes you. And I really like this. It is no longer, I have to do this. Now it is, I want to do this. Do you have that want to? If you don't, you might still be walking in the law instead of walking in Christ. Because when Christ takes over, we want to. I can remember another example I had is, you know, I used to be like a lot of us, you know. I could have cared less what I said. You know, if I was mad, I'd tell you what I think. And I'd use a lot of negative words, you know, a lot of curse words, you know. Didn't think nothing of it. It was just ordinary, common, everyday speech to me. And many of us know what I'm talking about here. But I'm telling you, once Jesus Christ came into my heart and into my life, I said a few swear words after that. And when I did, it just about broke my heart. And I said, God, I don't want to talk like that no more. Take this from me. And my dear brother, Kenny Kraft, some of you know him. I did many, many, many years of ministry with him. I always say, when I say it, I can count on my one hand the times I've swore since I've been a Christian. And that's only because of God. That's the only reason. I said, when I say that, I'm sure he's rolling over in his grave because he heard it 1,000 times. But that's what God does for you. He gives you a want to, not a have to. I don't have to do this. I want to do this. I don't have to come to church, but I want to come to church. I don't want anything to get in the way of me coming to church on Sunday. We used to have real big family reunions on my wife's side of the family, and they were big, and they expected you to be there. And I said, well, we'll be there when we get done at church. And I'd never miss a Sunday for a family reunion. Now, you know, you may have to. You may have to. I'm not trying to, you know, throw any condemnation on anybody, but I hope you understand where I'm going with this. And the important thing is to have the flow of God's Spirit working within us. And that, there's been times when I'm saying, God, can I do this? I've actually asked him, Lord, can I do this? And there's been times when I felt the freedom to be able to go do something. And then there's been other times when the Lord said, no, don't go there. It's not going to be what you think it's going to be. And these are the conversations that we have with the Lord when we're married to him, when we're concerned about what he thinks and what he feels, because he's certainly concerned about what we think and what we feel. So, moving on, I want to get to this last point here. I don't know how I'm doing. So the last point, so that we can serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Or we could say we are no longer under the old covenant, which is the law, but under the new covenant, which is the Spirit. The old covenant could never bring everlasting life. It just pointed to the new. You kept the old so that you could be part of the new. The Old Testament saints kept that. They had to go every year. They had to make sacrifices for their sins. And they would offer a bull or a goat for an offering for their sins. And they would sprinkle the blood on the altar. And God would see the blood. And he would cover over their sins. It couldn't take it away. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away our sins. So it pointed to Christ. And the precious blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that could take away our sins. So we had a new covenant. Jeremiah 33, verse 31 says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I'll write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will put it in their hearts, and I'll write it on their minds." So again, there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is good and holy and just. But he's going to put it in our heart. And then he'll put it in our minds. So that now, I want to do what the law says. Because I love Jesus. Because I'm married to him.